going back and recovering where we left off last time, just a little bit to bring us up to speed. In Deuteronomy 29:29, there's a verse that one commentary points out that the Lord's, the reference to the Lord in that verse was probably added by scribes in error. And they render the verse, it says, the secret or concealed things and the revealed or disclosed things belong to us and to our children forever if we do all the words of this law. So in that verse, rather than the secret things belonging to the Lord, both of them belong to us and our children. And we pointed out that this agrees with the statements made by Paul concerning the revelation of the mystery that he was given. He pointed out that his gospel was hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And we brought up the comment that Brother Hill made that the Old Testament was the infolding of the New Testament, and the New Testament was the unfolding of the Old. And so you have the Old Testament as stories and history, but only by understanding and embracing, that is, believing Paul's gospel, do we, or can we, fully and correctly understand all that occurred and happened in the Old Testament. Otherwise, it's just stories.
Right.
And look at the church today as they don't embrace Paul's revelation in some manner or another. Maybe it's the lack of infilling with the Holy Ghost, or maybe the details of his gospel. They don't take that, they don't accept that. So consequently, they see the New Testament as, in many respects, a continuation of the Old. You have many, many groups that think we're supposed to obey the Ten Commandments still. That somehow Jesus continued that. And we know from Paul's gospel that that's totally false. So the understanding, actually having a revelation, just like Paul had, having a revelation and believing that revelation is the only way that we will understand all that was back there and what it pictured, what it brought forth. And Paul did mention in 1 Corinthians 10, he said the things that occurred and happened to them happened for examples to us. And again, if we don't have Paul's revelation, we're going to think that that's a statement in a, what do you want to say, a surface sense rather than a spiritual sense. The things that happen to them are examples for us, so the things that happen to them are going to happen to us. Whereas they were spiritual examples of things that take place in our lives spiritually. Okay? The next thing to note about Revelation, if you turn to 1 Samuel 3, it says here concerning Samuel that he ministered before the Lord, or ministered to the Lord before Eli in chapter 3. And if you drop down to verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So this little guy wasn't even saved yet. But then, if you, of course, in the rest of the chapter, he grew and became known. But in verse 21, it says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And what's interesting about this account is That word revealed in verse 7 and in verse 21 are both the same word. They mean to disclose, to reveal, to expose, or uncover. And in both cases, notice that the revelation is connected to the word of the Lord. So, in 7, verse 7, Samuel didn't know the Lord, neither did he know the word of the Lord. But in verse 21, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by his word.
Amen.
So the revelation of him, the being born again, were intimately tied together with the word. Okay? Inseparable, you might say. If somebody will go to John 1 and someone to 1 Peter 1, and someone to, that's good. John 1, whoever gets there, verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The Word was God.
Yeah.
Okay? Jesus is the living Word. And in chapter 3, Hagen, the first 5 verses there.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Okay. So there, the Lord makes it clear that the birth is of the Word and of the Spirit. All right? It's not a natural birth. And this reinforces what we said about a moment ago about Paul's revelation, understanding the Old Testament. Nicodemus was a master of Israel. He was a rabbi. He should have known these things, but as a leader, but he obviously didn't. He didn't understand, first of all, the importance or the significance of the Word of God. And we find that in other places. You remember at least one time the Lord spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, basically telling them, you put your traditions above the scriptures. You deny people the teaching and the understanding of the scriptures, and you shove your moral code and your observances down their throat. No wonder he called them a generation of vipers. 1 Peter 1, whoever's there, verses 22 and 23.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever.
Okay. Being born by the word, born of the word of God. All right. Okay, let's turn over to next to Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53, verse 1, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah asks two questions here, but those two questions are really, in a sense, two versions of the same question. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Revelation has to be believed. Okay? Revelations come via belief. And if you think for a moment about the, going back to the importance of the word, if you think about the Old Testament prophets, So many people have the idea that these guys just sat around in some sort of a trance or daze, and whatever popped into their head was what they said. But that wasn't the case. Everything they did, if you go back and read, was according to the word of the Lord, or according as it is written, or according to the scripture. They didn't just invent this stuff themselves. You know, Brother Hill used to talk about a full stomach dream, you know. I don't know about you, but I always have a roller coaster of a time at night after I eat spicy food. That's the effect it has on me. Boy, you talk about wild things. I can tell the difference between eating a spicy meal and a blander meal. But that's the impression people have. But those prophets, I mean, we even have examples where a prophet was told something by the Lord and didn't follow through or went against it. And in one case, the man died. He was slain. In the other case, look at what Jonah went through. When the Lord told him where to go, and he said, no, ain't doing that. Well, guess what? He wound up going, but not until after an awful lot of hard things. Okay? So let's turn over to, so with this thought of revelations come via belief. They have to be cemented by faith. Let's turn over to Romans 1. And if somebody will read in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17 for us.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Okay. And I'll have you stay in Romans, Hagen, because we'll reference it again in a minute. But look at these two verses. First of all, in verse 16, the power of God for salvation. Okay. Pretty tremendous power.
Yes.
Okay. One of the best days of our lives was the day we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that was only by the power of God. But look what it says. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. How? To everyone that believeth. In other words, by faith. And then notice 17. The righteousness of God is revealed how? From faith to faith. Okay, we have to believe it. All right. Chapter 10, Hagen, verse 17. Let's just read that and keep that in mind. I'm sure we all know it.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Okay. We have to hear the word of God. Now, our belief, we're talking about belief in the word of God. This gets interesting. Our belief must first be that of the heart rather than the mind. Hagen, stay in Romans 6. Someone else go to Acts chapter 8, and someone to Mark 16. And whoever gets to Acts chapter 8, read verse 37. Actually, no. Stand by. We're going to get the gist of the story a little better than that. Okay. Let's start in 34, and 34 through 37, whoever's there.
And the Enoch answered Philip and says, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
If thou believest with all thine heart,
yes,
not your mind, your heart.
Yes.
And notice also in verse 35, what was it that Philip was preaching to him?
Jesus.
You mean the Word of God?
Scripture, yeah.
Yeah. And he said, if you believe with all your heart. You don't have to understand this yet, Mr. Eunuch, but you need to believe it.
Yes.
And people have said, you've heard the phrase blind faith. Well, faith is only blind to your natural mind. It's not blind to your heart. Okay? All right, so there, if you believe with all your heart. Now in Romans 6, Hagen, verse 17.
Okay. I'm sorry, 6.
I just 6:17.
I just dazed up. Sorry.
Are you?
Yes, sorry. Okay. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you.
Okay. Greek word cardia means heart. It doesn't mean mind. Okay, we believed from the heart. And that's what gave us our freedom. In chapter 9, Hagen, verses 9 and 10.
For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac.
Is that 10, 9, and 10?
Oh, you said, I thought I said 9 and 10. Okay. I remember the problem tonight. Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Okay. With the heart man believeth unto salvation. The mind comes along later. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you've probably heard that phrase, I don't believe because I understand. I understand because I believe. The faith has to come first. Okay? All right. Mark 16, whoever's there, verses 10 through 14.
And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen.
Okay. The Lord got after him for what?
Hardness of
their hard minds?
Hardness of heart.
The hardness of their hearts. The cardia. Okay. James?
Scott, I'm going to ask a question.
Uh-oh.
I don't know the answer. And I'm thinking about Nicodemus when he went to Jesus. And my thought in thinking is this, and my question. You can be saved as far as salvation. You can actually, you know, that scripture said we're saved by grace through faith.
Uh-huh.
And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And the way you're bringing it out is so, in other words, to really understand the new birth for a believer to really understand, it has to be revealed to him. Because I'm thinking of what Paul said, when it pleased God who separated him from his mother's womb, mm-hmm, and called him by his grace to reveal. And I'm just sort of staying with this word, reveal. So the new birth has to be revealed to a believer. The, you know, you can be saved.
Yes.
And you don't, and like those prophets, there's something about that. That's hard. I can, it, what I'm saying, it's hard to really they use the word to be uttered or spoken, or to really...
Believing it is not the same as understanding it.
Okay.
Okay. If we think about what the Lord said to his disciples there in John, he said, the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
And he will take the things of mine and show them unto you.
Okay.
He will reveal them to you. Now, those men had been saved for maybe as long as three and a half years.
Right.
I'm sure they got saved pretty early on when they met Jesus.
Yes, yes.
But look at how much they didn't understand.
Okay.
I mean, Ty has brought out those verses in the Gospels where the Lord started to tell them about he had to go to Jerusalem and be given over to the Gentiles and killed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right over their heads.
Okay.
There was no understanding. Okay?
Yeah.
It hadn't been revealed to them yet.
Okay.
They didn't understand it. So there's a difference between believing and understanding.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
In the New Testament, the word mind occurs 53 times. Or the King James, the English word mind. Heart occurs 99 times. So there's something in that as well. Let's have somebody go to 1 Chronicles 29, someone to 1 Kings 3, someone to Psalm 37, and someone to Jeremiah 3. And whoever gets to 1 Chronicles 29, read verse 19 for us.
And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision.
Didn't ask for a perfect mind, although the Lord pretty much gave him that too. David said, give him a perfect heart.
Amen.
In other words, Lord, you've graced me with a heart after your own. I want the same thing for my son. Okay? 1 Kings 3, whoever's there, verse 9.
Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this?
Okay, that's Solomon praying in that same vein, okay, for himself. Psalm 37, whoever's there, verse 4.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Okay, and isn't it interesting? It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So there's a closed loop there. It doesn't say delight yourself in the things of the world, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. It says delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, which is your delight in him. Okay? Psalm 57, verse 7.
My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise.
Okay. I don't know about you, but my heart's been fixed for a long time by God's grace.
Amen.
My mind still has a tendency to wander.
All the time.
Guilty.
I have a bumper sticker at home that says, don't let your mind wander. It's so little, it's easy for it to get lost or something like that. Anyway. Jeremiah 3, whoever's there, verse 15.
And I will give you pastors according to my heart, and shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Okay. Notice that word understanding. Now there's a kind of understanding that comes up here. But first and foremost, I want the understanding down here.
Yes.
Okay. Chapter 17, James, in verse 10.
I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing.
Okay. In chapter 24, verse 7.
And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart.
Okay, and then in chapter 32, verse 39. Somebody go to Ezekiel 11 and someone to Malachi 2. And before we read those, talking about the difference again between belief and understanding, there's a pastor of a church back in Ohio who is on YouTube, and I enjoy listening to a lot of his messages. He doesn't obviously know Paul's gospel, but he brings out a lot of interesting stuff. His name is Alistair Begg, with two G's. He's Scottish. And in one episode, he was talking about this difference. And he said, think about the thief on the cross. Now, he didn't make any distinction between paradise, where Jesus took him, and heaven. But he says, think about the thief on the cross. He gets to the door of heaven, and the angel says, what are you doing here? The thief looks at it and says, he said I could come in.
Mm-hmm.
The thief the angel thinks for a second. He says, come with me, we're going to go talk to my supervisor. So he takes him to the head angel. The head angel says, okay, What do you think you're doing here? And the thief looks at him and says, he told me I could come.
Right.
And the head angel says, well, now, let's back up a minute. Do you understand the doctrine of justification? Do you understand the basis of your redemption? And the thief's just looking at him with this blank look on his face, like, what?
Yeah.
And the angel kind of looks at him like, You're not getting this, are you? The thief says, no. Mm-hmm. He said I could come.
Yeah. Right.
You believe right.
That's the difference.
Right.
Jesus said, this day you will be with me. The thief didn't understand justification.
Yeah, yeah.
But he believed what he was told.
Amen.
And that's the difference.
Amen.
Okay? All right.
Ezekiel
11, whoever's there, verse 19.
And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh.
Okay. And go to chapter 36, if you would, Michelle. Didn't the Lord say something about circumcising their heart?
Yes.
You know, I don't remember saying circumcise your mind. It said circumcise your heart. Okay. Chapter 36, Michelle, verse 26.
A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh.
Okay. Now, it talks about a stony heart there. And I'm sure that's a real thing. My wife talks about the stone between my ears a lot, so there is a mental version of that. Yeah. But Malachi 2, whoever's there, verse 2.
If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart.
Okay. So we've read about a dozen scriptures here about the heart. And I don't want to leave the impression that the Lord is not concerned with or not interested in our minds as well. But the heart is where meditation, that is pondering or contemplation, takes place. If somebody will go to Luke 2, and when you get there, read verse 19.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Okay. Didn't say she turned them over in her mind. She pondered them in her heart. Okay. That word pondering there in Luke 2:19 is number 48:20. It means to cast or combine together. Okay, so you're rolling this thing over, thinking about it. So, again, the heart is where meditation takes place, whereas the mind is the thinker, that is the calculator or the figurer. Somebody go to Philippians 4 and we'll see that they are different and distinct. The heart and the mind are not the same thing. Whoever's in Philippians 4, verse 7.
And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay. So you can see that the Lord is concerned about our minds. We want our minds kept. We want peace in our minds as well as our hearts. But things have to start in the heart. Okay. Now, the heart there in Philippians 4, 7, as throughout most of the New Testament, is number 2588 in the Greek. It means the seat of desires, feelings, affections, passions, or impulses. The mind, most of the time, is number 3540. It means the place of thought, reasoning, or understanding, a device, a contrivance, or a purpose. If somebody will go to 2 Corinthians 2, and whoever gets there, read verse 11.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Okay. That word ignorant is number 50 in the Strong's Greek. It means no-minded, ignorant, or mindless, not paying attention. And the word devices there is number 3540, the word for mind. In other words, we are not no-minded about Satan's purpose or the devices that he uses. We know both what his purpose is and how he goes about it. All right? Okay. 2 Corinthians 11, whoever just read, if you go to chapter 11 and hold your place there, let's go back to Genesis 3. Second Corinthians 11, whoever's there, read verse 3 for us.
But I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
No mention of the heart there. He's talking about the mind. Interesting. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Mm-hmm. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan initiated his deception of Eve through her reasoning. The weak point. Okay? But having breached and slanted her reasoning, her heart was swept up in the deception as well. Okay. Let me see, I've got a break in my notes here. I'll have to get a better copy of my notes. Something didn't print out right there. Anyway, let's turn over to Acts 14. And notice in Acts 14, verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. The unbelieving Jews, so there was no belief. Unbelief has to do with the heart. But what did they stir up in the Gentiles? Their minds. Okay, just like Satan did. They attacked the weaker point. All right? If somebody would go to 2 Corinthians 3 and someone to 1 Timothy 6, whoever gets to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 16.
Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the testament, of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Paul talks about the mind and the heart there being veiled. And if you think about Israel in the wilderness, they were looking around at all the things that could go wrong, and they reasoned. And that reasoning is what poisoned their hearts. They wouldn't believe because of what they saw, and what their, where their minds went with that.
So Scott, I'm seeing something here. You read about Genesis 3:1. So when we believe, it's given to us to believe, and we believe in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But once, when we don't understand what we believe, that's where we have problems. So, you know, I'm not trying to put a spin on that, but it's something about, I'm seeing that you can believe God, but until you really understand and it's revealed to you, that makes a big difference, seem like to me. Because she did, you know, when you don't know, you believe, but you don't understand. But then it seems like once those two connect, then that's, you got it, to me.
The thing about faith, James, and the things that have been revealed to us, Paul says, he talked about our minds being corrupted from what?
Simplicity.
Simplicity.
Okay.
It's simple. Okay. It's when we let this thing get a hold of it and start trying to figure it out, mm-hmm. apart from the Word of God, that we run into trouble. Now, if you think about Job, what did Job wind up saying? I've heard of you with my ear.
Right.
But now my eye sees you. I understand.
Right.
Okay. And you might remember that verse in, is it in the Psalms? Where it says, Israel saw God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. He knew the whys and the wherefores. Okay. So faith is simple.
Right.
And as we read, God's righteousness, which speaks of the things we want to know, the things we should want to know, the things we should know, God's righteousness, it said, is revealed how? From faith to faith.
Okay.
In other words, it requires, if I'm going to understand it, it requires that I believe it first.
Right.
And then it will be revealed.
It will.
As an understanding.
Amen.
Okay? We don't walk around like a bunch of nincompoops not understanding. That's why you're sitting in this class. That's why we have church. Because we want to delve into the depths of what God has done. And what he has for us.
Amen.
But we have to start in faith.
Amen.
Because it's only going to be revealed from faith to faith. And then when that thing is revealed, we latch a hold of that by faith.
Right.
And we have, if you prefer, we have another building block that's sitting on our foundation. And then we go after something else. And we don't take a hold of it because we understand it, we believe it. And then it's revealed from that belief to our belief, to our understanding.
Thank you.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I like in that verse that I just read that when the heart turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. Mm-hmm. Not when the mind turns.
No, not when the mind turns. When the heart turns,
yes.
The veil will be removed. It goes back to faith. All right? The faith must come first. Okay?
And Scott,
yes.
What about the pride?
What about the what?
I was just thinking when you said that pride of man, P-R-I-D-E.
Pride?
Uh-huh. Yes, because Jesus says there, and it's always been one of my favorites, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, those uh-huh. that are meek and lowly in heart. That heart has to be meek and lowly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
absolutely.
Not easy at all. I mean, apart from the grace.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking earlier that verse that Paul gives us in Corinthians. Not many mighty, not many noble,
exactly.
Not many wise.
Yes.
Because it's all up here to them.
Yes.
And
right.
because of that, it goes right over their heads. The Lord said it in another way to the Pharisees. He said, search the scriptures, because you think in them you have life.
Mm-hmm.
If you can memorize, you know, the entirety of Moses and whatever, you think that's where life is. He said, you missed it. It all points to me.
Amen.
But you won't come to me that you can have life.
Praise the Lord.
And what did the Pharisees talk about? Every time they confronted Jesus, what did they talk about?
Themselves.
Starts with an M and ends with an S. Moses.
Right.
They had Moses memorized forwards and backwards.
Yes.
Moses said this. Moses gave us this.
but their heart was veiled, so they didn't understand the prayer.
Moses. Yeah. You got it memorized, but you won't believe it.
Oh, Jesus.
Go back to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you're a master of Israel and you don't understand this stuff? Okay.
You know, I'm just saying, it goes back to what you said. Open up with it. It has to be revealed.
Yes.
And the reason why I'm saying this is when Jesus asked his disciples, who am I? Who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that.
Nope.
But my Paul.
Nope. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. We need to start in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy what? The wisdom of the wise, and will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Amen.
For you see your calling, brethren, this calling that he just talked about in verse 24. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. In other words, he's made it simple.
Amen.
Amen.
It goes right over the physicist's head because it's so simple.
Yes.
And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen.
Amen.
Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, according it is, as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. I don't glory in this.
Amen.
I glory in who lives in here. Okay?
Amen.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing or persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
Hold on, we're not done. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in here not perfect?
Praise Christ, yes. His life is perfect.
Jesus lives in you, you're perfect.
Amen.
You don't get any better. So, now that you're perfect, now that you have faith, now God can begin to speak wisdom to you, which is a cover word for the deeper things.
Amen.
Okay? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. It's not fleshly or human wisdom, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in what? A mystery.
Amen.
Where have we heard that word before? That's Paul's middle name. Okay? Paul, the mystery apostle. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of the natural man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Amen.
Right? So faith must come first, and then the understanding will come. All right. We didn't quite go in the direction I thought we were going to go to, but I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me.